Hello and welcome back to the Card Collecting Addict Podcast. I'm JP and thanks for tuning in. I hope everyone's having a great time out there in the hobby right now. I know there's a lot of uneasiness and people freaking out over some of the dipping of prices and everything else that's been going on. But you know what? If you've been in the hobby for a while, just hang tight because I think it's just a period of correction right now, so I don't think it's anything to freak out about. If you are freaking out, feel free to message me. I will calm you down. That's not the end of the world. Now, that coming from a perspective of a guy who does not have my entire life savings put into the card market. So, that being said, I don't take that lightly, but at the same time, it's tough to gamble when you're dealing with a sports card. So I try to take a different approach to it, as I've mentioned more than once on the podcast. And so far, so good. I can't complain about where we stand right now in the hobby as the Card Collecting Addict family. So a couple things in my mind this week. The Stanley Cup Finals have started. Game one was last night. Did not go the way I'm hoping it would go for Montreal. Tampa Bay won 5-1. They had some crazy bounces to begin the series with. So we'll see what game two looks like on Wednesday night. I still hope to see Montreal pull this off. But you know what? Either way, as long as it's a good series, I'll be content. Basketball. I know we're in the Eastern and Western Conference Finals right now. You have injuries all over the place. Looks like Giannis went down tonight with a knee injury. So praying for him. Hope it's a fast recovery. I know Trae Young was out, hurt his ankle the game before. So we'll see how that series shakes out. Looks like it's going to be even 2-2 right now. And then over on the Western side of things, I believe it's 3-2 Phoenix. I'm not sure if Kawhi Leonard is back or not. But hoping for the Suns, Bucks finals, or Hawks, doesn't matter to me. Go Suns. We'll see how it goes. But the Clippers are pretty feisty as they ousted our Dallas Mavericks last round. Actually, it was the first round. It wasn't. Anyways. Oh, gosh. In the world of baseball, there's all this crazy talk about sticky stuff. Every time you turn on MLB, it's sticky stuff. I think that Major League Baseball took a terrible turn trying to implement new rules in the middle of a baseball season. We haven't even made it to the All-Star break yet, and they're already implementing new rules in the middle of the season. I think it's bonkers. I think it disrupts a lot of things. I understand if there's something that they deem that really needs to be addressed, the whole residue on the glove that gives the pitchers a better grip. Whatever it is, they could have addressed it during the offseason. But they didn't. They chose to do it in the middle of the season and screw with everything. So, I'm not a big fan of that move, to be honest with you. And obviously, I don't care one way or the other about pitching or whatever. They got to do what they got to do to keep the competition fair. But they could have waited to spring training of next year to really hunker down on that particular rule instead of suspending people or ejecting people. I mean, it's just been a crazy weird baseball season already. Looks like Ohtani is still tearing it up. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is almost a triple crown leader, so very cool stuff there to see. Not a lot of rookies really to talk about in baseball this year, which is kind of weird. There's just really no impact rookies that I've seen. I mean, I know Brian Hayes, I guess, is doing pretty well. But looking at their overall stats, there's no one just lighting it up that's a rookie at the moment. So, and again, there's been baseball injuries all over the place, particularly with the Chicago White Sox. But on the card side of things, you got the National coming up. I know everyone's talking about the National. Every YouTuber, every podcaster, everyone and the mother is talking about the National coming up. I think it's like 4 weeks away from right now. So you also have the Dallas show 2 weeks before that, the next big Dallas show. And then For us, we just did our first card show. A very small show. I think it was 40 tables, two of which were ours. So, you know, we it was local. It was our first time we've had a local show here in Tyler, Texas. So we decided to go ahead and get a booth or a table and see how it goes. So this episode is going to be kind of a recap of what we saw during our day. It was a one-day show. And, you know, just to, you know, and to see what to recap the experiences that we had at this particular show. So I'm going to welcome in my partner in crime, my partner in life, my supportive. You guys have heard me talk about her. She attended the card show with me. So, hello, Alicia. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi.
She's very nervous to be here today, so I'm going to take it easy on her. But she did. She supports, obviously, everything in sports cards that I do. She has yet to disown me or drop me off on a corner somewhere for the card collecting addiction that I may or may not have. But that, regardless, she did attend the one-day event with me. She was there for setup, breakdown, help talk to customers, everything. So I do want to get a little bit of her perspective today, just because, you know, when you're in the middle of a transaction or a show like it was, you miss some things because, you know, you're busy. And me being out in the forefront of people trying to sell stuff, people trying to buy stuff, people wanting to trade stuff, it was a very interesting time for me because I haven't been out like with the public in this sense. I mean, I obviously we have the eBay store. I talk about that ad nauseum, but you know, being out with people was a total different animal for me in particular, being on the other side of the counter, so to speak. But I'll tell you some of the things that I saw right away, and then we'll get into some of what Alicia's perspectives were. First, I was really pleased with the traffic at the beginning. I mean, again, we're talking a very small venue. It was in a Hilton, like little side room, 40 tables. We had kind of they had some autograph guests, and we were down stationed right in front of the autograph section, which they had Mel Renfro and Bob Lilly from Dallas Cowboys Hall of Fame. They were there. They came about a couple hours after the show started. The show started at 10 a.m. We got there at 8 a.m. for setup. You know, because you never know how long it's going to take to set up and that sort of thing. And we were done setting up about 9:30, I would say. So they kind of went and mingled around the room with other dealers-ish. Talked to one person. That counts. That's mingling, right?
No.
She kind of forced me out into the to mingle with the people. She's like, you need to go talk to some people. But right away, I had a guy come over from another dealer came to our booth, and he purchased two HGA cards, a Robert Pawson HGA 9.5 regular Bowman Chrome, as well as a Alex Verdugo and then 2018 Topps Chrome. So yeah, we made a little package deal. He purchased that. So right away, you know, for me going into the show, and we had never really talked about this, but for me, my goal is always just to make your table, right? I mean, the first thing you want to do is make your cost back. It cost us $75 for two tables, which is pretty inexpensive in the grand scheme of things. So right away, we made our table back, so everything else was just gravy as far as I'm concerned. You know, we had a whole day of just making sales at that point and having fun, and there was no stress or pressure of making your table back. So then, you know, it just kind of went from there. Once the doors opened, it was a little slow the first few minutes, and then I don't know how they did the advertising, and that's something that Alicia and I had talked about. We don't know what they did for advertising because I didn't see any advertising, and I'm pretty sure you didn't see any advertising.
I didn't.
So we're not really sure what they did. They don't have a large Facebook following or Instagram following. But anyways, people started coming in, and then they started, it got really crowded, and then it got really hot because the air conditioning went out. Did you enjoy the no air conditioning?
No, and neither did you.
Yeah, I was sweating pretty hardcore, I'm not gonna lie. It was pretty tough there. For the most part, most of the whole day. It was a 10 to 4 show. I think we ended up packing up at 3 and just said, I can't take any more heat. This is ridiculous. And traffic had really died down at that point. And there were other people already leaving. So we went ahead and dipped out as well. But, I think I'm going to start some questions here with Alicia. But for me, I think the biggest surprise for me was selling all of my Dallas Stars cards, hockey cards. Like, it actually caught me off guard when the gentleman asked. So just kind of give you guys like a visual of what we did. We had our main table was an 8-foot table, and that would have like a box of dollar cards, you know, all the major cards that we have, you know, top loader type stuff. We had some display cards. And then the other table, I wanted to make it like a kid-friendly table. So it had like some Pokemon that were super cheap. It was all really cheap stuff, including sports cards, like $24 type stuff. You know, just stuff we were just trying to have just a lower end option because I didn't know what to expect. You know, I didn't know what kind of clientele would come through this town. And, you know, I decided to try a little bit of everything. And, you know, the gentleman walks up and is like, do you have any star cards in here? And I'm thinking like star as in, you know, Derek Jeter, Alex Rodriguez, you know, Sidney Crosby, Alex Ovechkin, those kind of things. Because he was looking through hockey cards at the moment. And then it dawned on me, you know, I was like, wait, did you mean Dallas Stars? And he's like, yeah. So I'm like, oh, okay. So then I went through and pulled out all the Dallas Star cards that we had from the dollar box. And he pulled out everything, I think like 40 different cards he found in the $24 bin. So all in all, it was like a $10 purchase, but he got a lot of stuff. He got a lot of value, and he was very happy and took one of our business cards. So, you know, that's a good start. So what would you say was something that really surprised you the most being there with me and witnessing it all?
The fact that there was a big vendor from Dallas all the way out in Little Bitty Tyler.
That would be the Dallas investor, right? Dallas Card Investments,
yeah.
Or investor?
Dallas Card Investors is, yeah, what it was.
And they are very large. We've seen them at the Dallas show. They usually have a ginormous presence at that show. So if you guys have been to the Dallas Card Show, you know who we're talking about because you can't miss them. They're big, and they have a big black tent set up inside the building. And I'm not sure what all they do. I think they do some grading, maybe some partnership with a grading company or their own grading company. I'm not really sure. But yeah, that was surprising for sure to see them at this event, because, you know, we didn't know who was going to be there, what was going to be there. I was surprised that they had autograph guests, to be honest with you, at such a small venue, but, you know, they did. So I finally took a lap around the show just to kind of get a feel for what the other dealers had, I guess. But I'll be honest, people kept telling us how hot it was on the other end of the building, and they were not wrong. We thought our end was hot. The other end was even hotter. I went down there, and I could just feel the immediate, like, shift in temperature. So which really made it very uncomfortable. You know, I can only imagine as a customer, you're not looking to spend a whole lot of time just because it's miserable. It was not a very comfortable setting. So hopefully the promoters got some kind of refund from Hilton, because it just was not a good time as far as that goes. I know it's Texas, but imagine Texas heat inside of a building locked up with 100 people. You know, it's not that great of a time. And especially when the autograph session started, because there was lines for Bob Lilly. There was lines for, I assume, Mel Renfro as well. The way they had it set up was really congested, you know. So unfortunately for us, and I guess fortunate in a way, but not really, we became like a what'd you say, a storage area for people?
Yeah, that's what I said, a storage area for people's purchases.
They were just using our table as like a resting spot, basically. And there was no one, you know, looking, no one shopping. They were just in line to get their autographs and leave. So they kind of put a big hindrance on a damper, I guess, on half of our booth. But, you know, once that kind of went away, we started doing, at one point we got really busy because I had people wanting to trade, people wanting to sell, people trying to buy stuff. And it was just a little bit overwhelming for me personally, because I got three people that, I don't know if they just didn't respect each other's space or what the deal was. I'm like, I'm dealing with this person. I will get to you next. Like, it's okay to wait. Like, I understand. But anyways, it was just an experience. I wasn't negative or anything. I was just surprised by people's impatience, I guess, knowing that, you know, I have this gentleman, we're trying to work a deal out, and I end up buying, oh gosh, I bought some Justin Herbert, some CeeDee Lamb. I tried to replace what I had, what we had sold during the, I guess, beginning or whatever. We didn't know what to really expect that was going to sell, so I tried to, you know, feel people out to see what they're looking for. You know, we engaged every person that came by our table. That's something that, you know, the old retail salesman in us, because we both have a retail background. So, you know, engaging people, just having a conversation starter. The one thing I was excited to see was there was a fair amount of kids.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah.
You know, I was, I'm always thinking about that, you know, because we want there to be kids. We want there to build that future. You know, we obviously have a lot of kids between us, and, you know, we try to have that collector mentality in our house and expose our kids to that. So it was nice to see, you know, we had I think one of my favorite interactions was this gentleman brought his kids around, and he had one son that was particularly looking for a card that said All-Star on it. And I'm like, what a weird, you know, quirky thing that this kid, like, it didn't matter what player, it didn't matter whatever. So we went through our boxes that we had there, dollar cards, whatever, and, you know, showing him anything that said All-Star on it, and he finally selected one that he liked and then paid his dollar and went about his day. And it was just fun to see, because it literally had no, like, there was no, like, rhyme or reason to it, other than his dad's like, he just wants a card that says All-Star. I'm like, that's kind of funny, but, you know, that's cool. Yeah. Would you say it was interesting to, just to, I guess, for you to take it all in and see all the different interactions that went on during that day?
It was interesting to see that a sports card, quote unquote, trading show is still family oriented. I think we saw a lot of parents with their kids or grandparents with their kids.
Yep.
Funny story, the last kid that shopped our table, his mom was rushing him out of there. So I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, she was losing her patience there, not gonna lie. He was in the Pokemon section, and it was really funny because he was trying to build evolutions. And I don't know, you know, if you guys know Pokemon, you know, each character evolves into another character, et cetera, et cetera. And he was trying to get his 25, we were doing $25 cards for a dollar, which is, it's just commons and uncommons Pokemon, nothing shiny, although he found some shiny cards in there and he was really excited about that. But yeah, she, I think at one point you were helping him, weren't you? Like, just trying to find cards for him, and you're looking up evolutions because he was asking questions. Well, what does this evolve to? Do you have any Bulbasaurs and Bilbasaurs? And it was just funny because he was probably like 7, you know, somewhere around that ballpark of age.
He reminded me of our kids.
Yeah, for sure. He was, his mom, and she was really like losing her patience for sure. And, you know, that was, I mean, again, it was around 3 o'clock. We had already started packing up at that point, but we weren't going to rush him off because he was having fun. We were just doing some of the legwork that we needed to get done to get out of there, because we had a banner and all that stuff. So what is something that you would say that stood out to you
The wide variety of collectible items at a show like that. From wrestling to Ninja Turtles to comics to cards to autograph football players being there. It wasn't just a card show, in my opinion.
Right, right. I agree with you. We were actually, the people across from us were just wrestling promoters. Like, they were promoting events more than anything. Yeah, they had some figures and some weird little foam cutouts of Hulk Hogan and whatnot, and a smidgen of trading cards on their table, but it was, they were there to promote some wrestling event that's coming up, and we inquired about it because it seemed interesting, maybe something for the kids. You know, I've never been to a wrestling event. You know, when I was a kid, I actually conversed with the guy about it. You know, the Von Erichs were a thing when I was a kid, and then they all started dying, and I guess Kevin Von Erich is the only one left, and his kids. So he kind of told us a story about Kevin Von Erich and how he sometimes wanders off and they have to chase him down. So, you know, which I'm sure the guy is in his 60s at this point. So not too surprising there. But yeah, it was that was pretty interesting. I guess something that stood out to me was there was a lot more women there than I anticipated. Thought that was kind of interesting. Whether they're strictly there for support of their spouses or boyfriends or whatever, there was a lot of females. In my opinion, there was a lot. Like, for 40 tables, and I would say almost half of those tables had a lady at the table. Yeah. Including the autograph people. You know, they had a lady up there running the autograph thing. The people behind us had two women. Obviously, it was a father and son, which would be a mother and a daughter-in-law. That's how the only people I actually talked to. So I went and got to talk to them a little bit. They've been doing cards since, I would say the son that I talked to was probably 35-ish. And then his dad's been doing it since he was a kid. So, you know, a lot of years of experience there. We conversed about wrestling cards, just because I was curious, because they had some wrestling singles I was looking at. And, you know, I've said it before on the podcast, we sell a lot of wrestling on our eBay store. Like, it's not expensive, but, you know, we sell it. And, you know, it usually comes in waves. It's, I don't know if it's just multiple repeat buyers or what it is, but, you know, it'll be one or two here, then it'll be someone with a big order of 15 or 20, and then it'll be one or two here, you know. So it's very consistent, and, you know, it's a very niche. But the gentleman was telling me that they rarely sell wrestling at a show. Like, no one ever buys wrestling cards at a show. And he had some cool, like, Shawn Michaels autographs and stuff. And he had asked me if I'd ever seen it. It was a tribute card that Walmart did. And they had inserted autographs, and he had gotten one. So it was kind of cool. I remember the tribute cards because back when we first started this last year, we were buying up all the clearance wrestling packs at every Walmart we went to. Because it didn't take long for us to realize, hey, you spend $3 for a pack, you got 15 cards. Every one of those cards in the ladies division sells for $1 to $2 a piece. That was a no-brainer in my book. So you took $3, turned it into $25.30. Why not? So yeah, I was very familiar with the Shawn Michaels stuff. But anyways, trying to think. There was one, the one dealer that came and bought the stuff from us right away. I went to his booth and did a trade with him. I'm pretty sure I got hosed on the trade a little bit, but that's okay. It's a trade. There's no money exchanged in it. I just, I really wanted a Jason Dominguez Bowman Chrome, so I had to ante up a little bit in the trade department. But, you know, also it was one of those in-a-moment type things, and, you know, you try to also build relationships with other dealers and stuff because, you know, one thing we learned while we're there is that, we need some sealed product, you know. People want packs. People want to open boxes. There were very, very little sealed boxes that I noticed. You know, very few. And the guy, you know, like I said, I started talking to him a little bit, and he had said, you know, I guess basically he liked our setup. He liked what we had going on, and that he thinks down the road that this is kind of where we're at, is where the hobby is going back to. Which is fine because, you know, I tell you guys, we don't deal in $1,000 cards. The most expensive card we had there was $200, and that was a Justin Herbert SGC 9.5 club level blue select die cut. So, you know, the die cuts are really hard to gem out, as another customer told us. He's like, they're very, very hard to grade because SGC is really tough on the die cut cards. Whether that's true or not, I can't say. I've only sent in two and I got a 10 and a 9.5. So, I sold the Burrow right away when I got it back. But anyways, so as far as there being a lot of women there and young girls, I saw some young girls as well.
I think they were there to just keep their men in check and keep them from blowing the bank.
I don't think so. So where do you see women in this hobby going forward? Do you think it's, from this small sampling, obviously, you know, we've been to Dallas. We've been to Dallas a couple times with me. I don't recall seeing many women at that show.
There's a lot more men than women at the Dallas show, for sure.
You know, we talked to, the wife of Miki or whatever his name is from Florida who owns a shop, Jamil, talked to his wife at their booth, because he wasn't there. But that was the only lady I remember. And the lady with the framing business, I think you might have talked to her. Mm-hmm. But otherwise, yeah, I don't remember that being any women walking around in the Dallas shows. And I know I'm just kind of honing in on one particular thing here, but, you know, I think, you know, and it's really hard to get a real pulse on females, you know, like, I mean, you take the podcast, for example, we have 2% female listeners. Now, whether that's you listening or, you know, whatever, I don't know. But, you know, that's not, it's a small percentage, right? But it's a small sampling. I don't have a huge podcast, so it doesn't reach a lot of people. But you take it into, even with the eBay store, you know, I look at people, addresses, whatever, when we're packing stuff. And it could be mom's buying for her son. It could be wife's account, husband uses it, who knows. But I do see a fair amount of female names, you know, across that venue. But I was just really surprised to see so many girls there. And like you said, it probably was more of a support thing because we didn't really have, well, we had the one lady with the Craig Biggio, you know, that was, she wanted to, right there at the end, she was looking for Craig Biggio cards.
Yeah.
Or Astro cards.
Die hard, had to be Astro player. Yeah.
So she ended up buying a Craig Biggio card from us. The only one we had. So, but I believe she was the wife of the dealer behind us. So, she was already obviously in the hobby already and been doing it for probably their entire marriage, I would imagine. And they're an older couple, obviously, kids that are close to our age or closer to your age than me, but yeah, you know, whatever. But yeah, I was, I don't know. We'll see. We're intending, we have an event this weekend that we're doing, right? We're going to do this 4th of July community event. We got a booth to set up there and hopefully sell some cards. We'll see how that goes. And then we have another card show in Longview in July. It's a one-day event as well coming up the weekend after, I think, the Dallas show. So hopefully there will be some traffic from that. I think the Dallas show is July 17th, if I'm not mistaken.
I think so.
Yeah, we talked about going to that, so we haven't really decided on that yet. But anyways, so how does it feel being a partner in crime in the sports card business as from your perspective? Like how do you feel enjoy? Do you enjoy the hobby? Do you like being around it? Does it drive you crazy?
Well, do you want my honest
Absolutely.
Opinion?
Absolutely, I want the honest opinion.
First starting off, it was very exciting. I felt like we were achieving things at a momentum that was super, super fast. It was something new, something I was learning. And then it got kind of redundant, and then I kind of lost interest, and you just kind of kept going because I wouldn't let you stop. And then as you kept growing your collection, you integrated comics into it, which really threw me off my game because I know nothing about comics, but I love art. Know nothing about comics. But you wanted to throw that wrench in there, but you love it, so I support you. And then when you started mixing Pokemon and all these other cards, it's not sports related, you totally lost me, because I'm just like, man, I gotta learn sports first if I'm gonna help you. But overall, I think the experience has been interesting. It's been fascinating to watch you grow and get excited when you get new shipment in. It's like Christmas for you every day when there's an eBay package arriving. Or for me, it's like, oh my gosh, there's another package on the kitchen counter. But hey, I support you and I keep my stuff to myself. But now you know how I really feel. So the counter needs to be cleaned off by the end of the night.
Yep, just saying.
But overall, I have enjoyed watching you grow. I look forward to seeing you grow even more. And thanks for mentioning the Tyler Show and that we should stick our heads out there, because I had a blast whenever we went.
Yeah, and that was, you know, certainly, it wasn't something that we were expecting to do. Honestly, I didn't know what was happening until I actually saw an ad for it on Instagram from the 903 Card Show dealer or whatever they're called, card shop. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's in our backyard. Like, literally, it's 5 minutes from our house. You know, 10 minutes maybe, but not really. You know, closer to five, I would say.
Right, and what was fascinating is one of the gentlemen that we connected with up in Dallas ended up reconnecting with you out here in Tyler.
That is true. If you guys listen or watch the Hobby Hotline, Brad, he's one of the co-hosts or whatever on there on Saturday mornings. And yeah, we talked in Dallas and I took his business card. I emailed him once, and you know, you get busy with life and whatever. And he remembered us from Dallas, and he stopped by and talked. And then he emailed me last night, wanted me to see about being on the Hobby Hotline with him. So we will see how that goes. So yeah, if you're listening to YouTube, check out the Hobby Hotline. Some good guys on there. I know it's Saturday morning, so it's really hard for me to catch it that often because, you know, we're parents first. we're doing this later than we want to be, but we wanted to get this out here for everyone to kind of share in our experience with the show. And, you know, I wanted to get Alicia's perspective because she's been nothing but supportive of this whole endeavor, whether it's packaging orders for me, dropping off orders for me, pulling orders. You know, you've been very instrumental in this whole process, and you know why I appreciate you, and I say it every time, you know, that I do a podcast. I always, you know, want to give my thanks and appreciation to you, because I know, especially in the beginning, if it wasn't for you, I probably would have given up on this adventure at some point, because it does get a little overwhelming. Like, you know, we had that one weekend, like 170 orders or whatever it was insane. Or it was a week, but the weekend there was already over 100 orders coming out of the weekend, and you know, that's a daunting task in and of itself. And you know, just having your support there, so I want to make sure that, you know, I always tell you I appreciate you and show that I appreciate you, because it's seriously, it's not, doing it as a business is not something that I don't think one person could do on their own without support, you know, because if I'm taking away time from family, you know, you're there to like, hey, we need to hone it in a little bit, or hey, you need to focus more on the business, you know. That's where this whole show came about. When I told you about it, you're like, yeah, we're doing it. Like, I'm like, but that's our, it was our weekend without kids, you know, this is our weekend. And you're like, no, we're going to go do this show. And yeah, we still did stuff for us. We went and watched F9. I believe it's called the Fast and the Furious Part 32.
Sequel to follow.
Yeah, there definitely is going to be another sequel for sure. But you know, it was not that you guys care about the movie thing, but if you're interested in watching it, I enjoyed it for what it is. I mean, it's action, it's ridiculous, it's fun. You know, it's a fun movie. Like, I mean, there's just some stuff that's so unrealistic, but it's creative because you think someone had to think of that to put it in a movie, and that to me is funny. But yeah, we're you know, she's I think she's not willing to admit it quite yet, but I think she's starting to like hockey a lot, you know. I'm making her watch the lots of Stanley Cup playoffs with me, so if she gets bored, she just secretly leaves the room and doesn't tell me that I notice it later.
Or just fall asleep in the recliner.
Or that.
Yeah.
But, you know, my goal is to get you to a hockey game. Once you see it in person, that is your thing.
I'm more of an in-person kind of girl. Like, I love the competition in person. Now, on TV, I can easily pause, fast forward, find something else to do. It's not as intriguing. You have to get me there.
I know. We gotta go to the baseball game too.
Our first date was the Mavericks. I mean, come on now. You gotta step it up.
I know. Well, COVID kind of stepped us back because we had lots of plans, you know, to go to Atlanta last year to watch the Braves play. And I wanted to get to a hockey game last season before COVID put a, you know, damper and everything. But here in Texas, you know, we're fully opened up, so there's no COVID problems as far as that goes. But yeah, we're looking forward to this event this weekend. Obviously, we'll do another, or I'll do another podcast. Maybe she'll want to join me. Maybe not after this. Who knows? She's very shy most of the time, so, you know.
Only once I get comfortable, then I'm okay.
Well, you're comfortable around cards. I know that much. She made it very clear, as you guys heard, that she is not comfortable with comic books. And, you know, but to be fair, I'm just going to go back to the card show thing really quick before I wrap this up. But we had one customer. I did take a box of comics. It was just like some stuff. I was just, you know, cheap stuff. I'm not really into selling comics per se right now. That's not really what I'm going for. But I do have a plan for down the road. So, yeah, she was not wrong in that. But we had a guy come up and, you know, I had what do we have, like a 3,000 count box of Marvel cards, right? And some people traded some Superman cards, you know, we had all kinds of stuff going on with that stuff. But this guy was like, how much you want for the whole box? And, you know, he bought the whole box. So I'm like, okay. Then he also bought $10 worth of comic books. So I'm like, oh, that just made our day. So
well, I don't think it's a bad idea. I think you should have it integrated into your business, but expect me to be able to sell it. The answer is no right away. I can't speak it.
Price is marked. That's all you got to say.
I'm the pretty face that tells you how much it is. That's it.
Exactly. But, yeah, and the guy actually told us, you know, we're the only people at this show that had non-sports cards. You know, and I'm like, thought that was kind of interesting because I didn't go that deep diving into other people's tables, but it was nice to hear, nice to see that, you know, he found something from us that interested him. I gave him a business card because I told him I had about 3,000 more of those cards at home. So we should talk. But, you know, they sell really well on eBay. You break it down, you put the work into it, it's there. You know, the sales are there. I had to package up some orders tonight. That was the other thing I want to touch on is being prepared with an inventory plan. Oh my gosh. So just really quick, I'll go through some of the hits for us in sales. I'm gonna take away the Marvel cards because that was a bulk sale. But then we had one gentleman bought every Clyde Edwards-Helaire card that we had. I thought that was really surprising. I expected there to be, you know, Cowboys, of course. It's just Texas. So we sold some CeeDee Lamb. We sold one Herbert card, didn't sell a single basketball card. That was one of the things I want to touch on that really surprised me the most. Not a single basketball card. We had hardly anyone look at basketball, and you know, I don't have, you know, PSA 10 XYZ cards, but we have Luka, we have Zion, we have, plenty of decent rookie cards, you know, low end stuff, obviously. The people directly behind us had all PSA graded cards. Their whole table was graded cards. I don't know if they sold any. Didn't really get a vibe. I heard them talking to one guy for a Trae Young Prism rookie for $2,200. Don't know that the guy pulled the trigger, but I was just really surprised by that, honestly, that not a single person with the basketball playoffs going on. I mean, no one asked for LeBron. We have LeBron. We have Jordan, for crying out loud. We have, you know, any kind of cards that you would want in basketball other than, you know, real expensive stuff, we have. So that was surprising.
Maybe it's because we're in East Texas. We're a football nation.
Well, we sold football and baseball. That was all we sold. Other than, like I said, the Marvel cards, we had people look at soccer, you know, ask about soccer. We don't really have a great inventory on soccer right now. It's just tough to get product in general unless you're buying collections, and that's what I've been doing slowly here and there. But, you know, if you don't have it, you can't sell it, and that's just the reality of this business. So, you know, I'm going to focus more on getting a larger variety. The more shows we do, we'll see how the Longview show goes. this weekend. I have no idea what to expect. I'm going to try and focus on kids stuff because there's going to be a lot of kids at this event. So obviously Pokemon, maybe some cheap, you know, dollar cards. I'll take some of the bigger cards too, just in case, because you don't know. But the good thing about these events, you know, the parents are all loaded with cash because it's an outdoor for a family event. So you got to have cash at those events to pay for everything. So,
well, if anything, it's a marketing perspective. For sure. Get your name out there in the community so they know that you're local.
Yeah, for sure. And a lot of people ask that. A lot of people ask at the show, are you guys local? Like, when they were all surprised when I said, yeah, we're based out of Tyler right here. And they're like, oh, wow, awesome. So they took business cards. We gave away a fair amount of business cards, so we had to order more tonight, actually. So, you know, appreciate you doing that, because I know that you're my marketing manager.
So get out there and do it more.
But hey, I think that will wrap it up for this episode. I appreciate you guys tuning in and listening. Hope there was some good information in here that you guys can take with you. If you're going to the National, good luck, have fun, be safe. I know I'll probably do another recap show next week from this adventure this weekend. Again, cheap booth, $25, so it's not like we're out anything other than, you know, marketing. I mean, if nothing else, you know, $25 to get our name out there, hey, it's worth it, you know, because you don't know where that's going to lead.
So is Nationals our next goal?
Oh, maybe next year. I don't know. The National's big, so yeah, I would love to attend the National first. I've never been to the National. When I was a young man, I went to some TriStar shows that were really big, like really big, but the National is the biggest, it's the Mecca, right? They always say Mecca of sports cards is the National, and it's in Chicago this year, which I'll be honest, I would prefer to go to Chicago because I've already been to that area. I kind of get, I'm pretty sure, if I'm not mistaken, where the National is at is where I was at for Chicago C2E2 comic book convention back 2 years ago. So, anyways, I'm not 100% sure on the location, but it sounds like it's super huge, and that place is multi-levels, so.
Anxiety out the roof. Got it. Okay, yep. We'll give it another year.
Give you a year of prepping and preparing and watching. I'll make you start watching National videos so you can get, like, a gist of it. I know Ryan from Card Collector 2, which you've met, he always does a great National, like, he logs it all, right? Video, videography. So, yeah. But anyways, thank you guys for listening. Hope everyone stays safe and keep on collecting. And thank you, Alicia, for joining my show tonight.
You're welcome.
Talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.